Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want to get back into the president's decision here. Next segment, because obviously this is enormous news and the president steps in after yesterday saying we're going to step back, we're going to wait, and then in the last 40 minutes or so says we are grounding the planes. Now, this is literally just coming out about Boeing. Boeing saying we are supporting this proactive step out of an abundance of caution. Safety is core value of Boeing, and as long as we have been building planes, it always will be. Let's just get into it right now, okay? Do you agree with this decision? I will state what I said yesterday. That at the time, with the information that was available to us, okay, I felt like I was reliant on the NTSB and the FAA, and until further information was available, I was in agreement in waiting to see what data was available. By the way, the fact that these black boxes have been delayed as long as they have, that's a complete fiasco from Ethiopia. Because it's taken way too long. But until we had more information, or until we had even one piece of information, to try to tie the two planes together, the two horrific plane crashes, that I think it was fair for the president, for the NTSB, and the FAA to wait. I get it that the other countries were going the other way, including Canada, about an hour before the president. But Scott Gillespie from the Trib just last hour made a great point, the political point. If you are the president, whether it's Trump or any president, okay, forget whether you love the guy or can't stand the guy. If the president continues to say that, and then something horrific happens, anybody's presidency is done. Because your final responsibility, your most important responsibility, is the safety. And it may not have been the president's fault at all. He may have been relying on the information presented to him by the experts. But if something happens, it would be, hey, where does the buck stop? It is with you, the president. So I think he does look decisive on this one. And I will be curious to hear what other information may have been acquired since yesterday, since the phone call from the Boeing CEO to say, trust us, we are investigating this at an accelerated rate. We are working with the FAA. We are working with the NTSB. But what changed? Now, was it another of the points that we made last hour? That if you continue to get country after country, and they continue to shut down, are you getting the point where literally when you're traveling outside the country, where can you actually go? So what do you think about this decision, the way the president and the White House reacted? He made the right decision. It was decisive. If you're going to err one way, it is caution. Or do you look at it and say that the White House was just reacting to the public pressure and not actual data? That you had the flight attendants were given leeway, that more people were being given leeway, that you had the politicians stepping forward and saying, Boeing, stop this, FAA, stop this, president, stop this. And that it wasn't on new information, it was the concern about the political side. So let me know where you stand on this particular issue. 81807. Right call or overreaction? And give me some specifics on a text. 81807. 8 past 2. Here is Laura with an update. All right, here's a little more information. Times reporting, the order came hours after the Canada's transport minister said that newly available satellite tracking data suggests similarities between the crash in Ethiopia and another accident. Mark Garneau had said the satellite tracing data of the vertical path of the jet at takeoff and similar data from Lion Air crash showed the vertical fluctuations and the oscillations were very similar, right? And so that's part of what I think a lot of us, I'm sure I'm not the only one. There's obviously a lot of people chiming in this one when I wanted to see about new information. You'd already had reports of one of the two pilots on the Ethiopian flight, had reported flight control problems to an air traffic controller minutes before the plane crashed. So that was another part that was fairly new. You had also had, in the last 24 hours, at least two pilots on the Boeing 737 MAX 8 planes in routes in our country, again, in the U.S., had raised concerns in November about the noses of the planes suddenly dipping after engaging the autopilot. Then you had reports about the cozy relationship that Boeing at times has with the investigation. Points out another story I saw about the major lobbying force, but another thing that the FAA has used a network of outside experts, known as FAA designees, to certify that aircraft meet standards. And 14 years ago, in 2005, the regulator shifted its approach on how to delegate the authority outside the agency, creating a new program through which the aircraft manufacturers like Boeing themselves could choose their own employees to be the designees and help certify the plane. I'm going to give you that again. The FAA has used a network of outside experts known as FAA designees to certify that aircraft meet safety standards. In 2005, the regulator shifted its approach for how it did delegate authority outside the agency, creating a new program through which aircraft manufacturers like Boeing could choose their own employees to be the designees and help certify the planes. I'm not then saying from this, Lindsay, that Boeing employees are literally going to say, oh, this plane shouldn't fly, but you know what? I have no choice. It's not that radical. But to me, I don't understand how this holds up with the consistency of the greatest role and responsibility for the FAA and the NTSB is safety, to then allow people who are with, I mean, Boeing's your biggest one, and they get to pick the people? They need to get the information, and they're relying on Boeing? It's begging to ask questions about that separation. I think that needs to be ended today. whether it's tied to this story or not. Some of the texts here. I'm a lifelong Democrat, not a supporter of Trump, but this decision was a good call. Public safety must come first, and only Trump would apply the same logic. And the text says, if only Trump would apply the same logic to gun control and climate change. Thanks. Lindsay, obviously there was political implications to this. There's no doubt about it. This is the smarter public thing to do. It is the one that might be 100% the right thing to do, especially, most importantly, if you're getting new data that does tie the two plane crashes together. But if you're uncertain, and you're the president, Lindsay, and even some of your authorities, maybe they're your political authorities now, your political advisors, excuse me, I'll phrase it that way, as opposed to the folks from the FAA and NTSB, and they're saying, President Gensel, first of all, they're going to say, when you're the president, they're going to say, are you related to the hockey Gensels? They're going to want to know that. They're going to want to know if you're still obsessed with cats, what it was like to work with Adam Carter. But they're going to say to you, do you want to put yourself in this political decision where you're waiting? Because the political advisors will say, no, don't in any way take the chance, whether it's on the political side, which is their expertise, let alone the safety side, which is the most important side.
Yeah, and it also, I think that there's something to be said about the fact that everyone around us is kind of leading the way, and
yep,
we're just sitting there. And, you know, where Jamie was yesterday in Reading, and you think of these families, I don't know how, as a family member, you know, you think of that family in Reading, they lost both of their sons, their only children. They lost both of their sons. One's going to be was supposed to be a father come May. And to sit there and think like that this decision was becoming a business decision, basically.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
It is. It's extraordinarily heartbreaking. You know, 8 Americans, 18 Canadians. And, you know, the story was only picking up. And this is where, you know, the White House, and clearly this is from the president, you know, outside of, you know, state-run television, that's Fox in the morning and Fox at night, they have just disdain for most journalism. They should be out in front in the next hour with the FAA, the NTSB. Sarah Sanders can introduce them and then get out of the way and just explain why this decision was made and face hard questions. Face questions like, are you just doing this for political reasons and not actual data? Or maybe that has been answered by what they have provided. That's what they should do. I highly, highly doubt that does take place. It's 21 past 2. Our friend Dermot Cowley, we always call him the restaurant tour to this show. Dermot has very successful places all around this town, from McKinney Row and O'Donovan's right downtown, to out in the western suburbs, Jake O'Connor's and Lola's. Dermot on the restaurant business and St. Patrick's Day. That comes up fairly soon here on CCO. All right, when Dermot arrives, we'll get into the restaurant business and St. Patrick's Day, and at some point in that conversation coming up, as we've mentioned multiple times today, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of Michael Bublé tickets. Was it March 18th? March 18th at the X. Don't call now. Don't text now. But within our Dermot Cowley conversation coming up before this show is done, you'll have a chance to win a pair of Michael Bublé tickets. We've all saw the story, Lindsay, in the paper in New York Times today. Headline, for larger customers, eating out is still a daunting experience. And it quotes a number of individuals who are willing to talk about their size and how tough it is when they go to certain places and how certain restaurants will make accommodations how others don't, how some have improved, have evolved, and others will just look at them with disdain as if, okay, don't show up here. We can't make any accommodations for you. Too bad. That is on you. That's cruel. That's callous. That's running a poor business. You worked in the restaurant business at a number of different places. What did you see when someone had unique physical characteristics? In this case, the story is the basis of bigger individuals and how far certain restaurants would go. Would it depend on manager to manager? Could you make these changes? How would that play out when you saw it?
I never saw an issue at the restaurants I worked at with people accommodating anyone, whether it was a bigger person, a person in a wheelchair, a person who needed to not sit in a booth, that sort of thing. Or even, you know, you can think like going out with an older person, you don't want to be seated at a high top. So I've always worked at places that were very accommodating, but there are issues in the sense that if it's busy and say you have a reservation and you're a larger person and your reservation's in a booth, well,
yep,
a lot of larger people don't like sitting in booths because it's uncomfortable and there's like the scene of getting in and out of them. I mean, I think sometimes booths are just hard to get out of for any person. So there definitely were times where you kind of had to move things around, finagle things. You know, a couple of the places I worked at were smaller places.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have big tables and big people, and you have to move some things around to make it comfortable for everyone. And I think the hardest part for me is that you were trying to make those things without making it obvious to the person.
Yeah.
Because I'm someone who I've struggled with body image issues my entire life, with weight issues my entire life. And you never want to bring up someone's insecurity, because we've all been in that situation where someone has, and how
yep.
hurtful it is.
Right.
So I think that
and how skillful some people are in having that conversation right. with someone, as opposed to, and some people might be more sensitive to it. Some people might be able to handle it well, better than others. Some people may want to hear any of it. And then the skill level on the communicator, and you don't know if all that's going to match up.
Yeah. And I also, you know, the article I printed for you, you know, the photo was of a larger woman sitting mm-hmm. on a bar stool with no back at a bar. And the thing is that's not even just something that is frustrating to someone who's large. You know, I don't consider myself to be a large human being, but sometimes if I'm sitting at a bar and I'm sitting on a stool like that, it's almost precarious. Like there's, you know, but
yep.
it's the style or whatever it is, or you yep. get into a place where it's super modern. And I have fallen off of a bar stool before because no back.
Yep. And you're right about, you know, people, listen, Dermot's going to be here. He's managed restaurants. He owns restaurants. You sit there and put in all that time, the decor, the message, what you're trying to say. And then you have to try to say, well, guess what? I have to have this because obviously we've made changes to accommodations with other physical challenges, and you're forced to do that. And I'm glad legally you are forced to do that. But what other changes do you have to be mobile enough to make those changes, you know, quickly? Maybe it's not that often. But it happens, and it happens in a way where you handle it where maybe you don't even have to have that conversation, where you just get it done, where there isn't more light shined on the person when they faced it too many damn times before. It is 30 past 2. As most people know, I battle insomnia, and I've had a bad stretch recently. And so my friend here to the left decides to invite me to, I'm going to say, one of the best man caves I've ever seen in my life. and we play golf. We can get into the breakdown of the results. I mean, your son Connor needs to be investigated by the USGA on the handicapping. But you knew I had to watch The Bachelor. I mean, it was the season finale, and you still kept me out there. Do you feel any guilt at all about that?
You know, I do. I was feeling very guilty that you're missing out on The Bachelor. But then when I watch you hole out from 67 yards and then hole out from 158, I was like, you know what? I don't feel so bad, and I'm tired of watching this already, you know?
Yeah, it was a large hole that was taking place at the Man Cave. Yeah, a friend of yours has got a setup with the simulator, the TVs, the ping pong, the pool table. One of the papers, or maybe the two of us should do it, greatest man caves in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, we should. We should go around and, like, people, if you're listening, you got a man cave, invite Chad and I and we'll come.
And Lindsay.
And Lindsay, yeah. Of course, yes. Yeah. Lindsay's got the bootlegs to come.
Yeah.
And we'll go around and investigate and come up. We'll poll it and we'll come back with our results.
We might need to go twice.
Yes, yeah, probably.
Know? I would have brought Carter, but he's not here today. The quitter. Yeah, he claims he's sick. Now, he's now kidding me because I'm not breaking down what's taking place with soccer. Why don't you tell me what's taking place?
Is Carter already practicing the Irish flu?
I think he is.
Yeah, probably.
He claims he's sick, but then he's aroused because he's about to watch two big soccer games. So what's going on here?
Well, you got Champions League going on today. I think Liverpool are playing. Yesterday, you had I don't know how anyone can dispute Ronaldo being the greatest soccer player in the world ever.
Wait a second. So better than Messi now?
I think so.
Better than anybody ever?
So his team is down 2-0 facing elimination going into yesterday's game. He apparently, there's talk that he told his teammates and his family that he would score 3 goals yesterday. And what did he do? He went out and scored 3 goals yesterday to advance their team through to the next round. So
the reports are he's a jackass. He may have a problem. Well, we know he has a problem with taxes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But similar stomachs to the two of us.
Yes, absolutely. Like it's hard to distinguish the three of us in a lineup.
really, you do. But you're saying you get to pick. There's a draft of Champions League players. You go first. I go second. Without question, you're taking Ronaldo over Messi.
Yes. Yes.
How come?
I just think he's more productive. Like, they're both fantastic. It's like, you know, it's kind of the Michael Jordan, LeBron argument. Who's but these guys are playing in the same era, the same time. I just, for me, Ronaldo is more clinical, more reliable. And he was with Real Madrid. Now he leaves, go to Juventus, and does exactly. It's he just picked up where he left off, and it's so the Messi. A lot of the thing is, you know, about his supporting cast, the guys he's playing with.
Is some of it just the size difference between the two?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah,
I just go down to results, and they're both fantastic. It's you wouldn't be disappointed to pick Messi number two either. So
so let's talk Sunday. St. Patrick's Day. And again, Dermot owns four places. Lolas, Jake O'Connor's, O'Donovan's, McKinney Row. Okay. A Sunday St. Patrick's Day does what for business compared to Friday, Saturday, compared to, let's say, it's a Wednesday or so?
Yeah, it typically splits the weekend. So Friday will be busier than a typical Friday. People will get a head start on it. Saturday will be the main day. So your parades are going to take place on Saturday here in Minneapolis around in Excelsior. We got the 5K race, the Luck of the Lake, and then there'll be live music going at all our places all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then Sunday typically is not as busy as the Friday, Saturday. You get some of the purists who want to come out on St. Patrick's Day. So they're going to be out. So it's going to be way busier than a typical Sunday. And you get a lot of folks coming out to just dine. You know, get their corned beef and cabbage or their chicken pot pies and fish and chips. So it usually makes for a busier weekend than when it's St. Patrick's Day falling and it's one day of a party.
Yeah. What's the worst day for you business-wise?
Probably Mondays or, you know, when it falls on Monday, and probably the worst for all the bars and restaurants. Because, again, some towns, cities will try and move it to the Saturday if it's on. And then it just kind of gets discombobulated. I didn't even know I knew that word.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
I still don't know if you know it, but you used it in the and I think it worked.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it just, it gets split up and yeah. until we're, so this is great. We love it like this. Have a big weekend. And
how
be a
early
lot of fun.
Will your places open Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Typically on St. Patrick's Day, we'd open at 8 in the morning.
Yep.
But because the way it's breaking down now, we'll open at our Saturday, we'll open at 9 a.m.
Okay.
The other Friday and Sunday, we'll open at 10.
10.
Yeah.
Because that's just the regulation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just won't be, you know, it's not that insane, crazy yep. busy, yep. you know, because people working downtown on Friday will go out on Friday after work and can start their, you know, maybe even go out for lunch and go to the Irish places, get their Irish fix in. So at least we, you know, don't forget us. We certainly hope you are planning to go out on
yeah.
Friday. And that's an Irish bar owner's worst nightmares, like the panic leading up to St. Patrick's Day. It's like, oh, my God, am I going to be the only one not busy on St. Patrick's Day? Like you talk about being like the poster boy of failure if you own the Irish pub that's not busy.
Yep.
And then it's, you know, you get that nervous energy and then, you know, people come in and you get busy and it's like, and then it turns into the place gets full and you're like, oh, don't wreck the joint. So we're always a nervous wreck though.
So a friend of yours is celebrating his 99th birthday on Friday. What if after dinner at my house, I bring into one of your places like 10 o'clock when it's just smashing full?
I think, you know, we bring Sid right up on stage and, you know, he can do the wave and sign autographs and do the selfie.
There'd be a couple of them.
There would be. No, and happy birthday, Sid. 99, he's absolutely. And, you know, we just, you and Sid and Carla were out at Jake O'Connor's yep. a couple of weeks ago, and he looks amazing, and he's so amazing.
Yeah, great picture of the two of you. So let's talk about the change with McKinney Row, right? Because this was a part, well, still is a part of downtown, Downtown East, which at some point is going to take off.
Yeah.
Right? You just don't know when you decided to go in to a beautiful building, banking on U.S. Bank, banking on it, building up, kind of take people through that.
So we opened a little over 2 years ago, and we, you know, along East Side is another great restaurant down in that area, and they opened maybe 9 months before us. So we're the pioneers, the two restaurant pioneers yep. in that East Town district. And the neighborhood is growing. Like there's a new hotel just opened last week. There's apartments getting built. There's a lot of stuff coming. We're just on the forefront of it.
Yep.
So we were trying to, you know, be a little bit something different than we were. Like I had talked about, you know, one of my favorite restaurants in the Twin Cities, Meritage over in St. Paul. I was kind of trying to do something a little along those lines, you know, to be a neighborhood place, but also a destination, great restaurant,
yep.
Great food with a great chef.
And built up a beautiful place.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You had great space, but you took advantage of it extraordinarily well.
Sure. You know, obviously I'm biased, but
yeah.
I think it possibly is the most beautiful restaurant in Minneapolis. But we weren't connecting with the neighborhood. So
yeah.
Come 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, it was... There was nobody around there. We
yep.
weren't. And yet there are people living in the area. So we were like, and, you know, when I looked at things, Valentine's Day, like we had 400 reservations on Valentine's Day. So people knew about us and they were coming to us, but they were thinking of us as a special occasion type place,
yep.
not
an
everyday. And
you need both, right?
We need a little bit of both. So we were like, you know, Jake O'Connor's and Excelsior, we've been there 13 years now, and it's, you know, it resonates with people. It's people come in for a nice dining experience. So, you know, the idea you can go in and have fish and chips and a pint of beer and be out the door for $20, or you can buy a $200 bottle of wine, you know, a seared halibut and a great steak and have a great dining experience. So that's, so we end up deciding that's the route we were going to go with McKinney Row and try and more connect with the neighbors on a daily, nightly basis. So the reception has been great so far. So,
when did you make the change?
Just a few weeks ago.
Okay.
We decided kind of between Valentine's Day and the end of February, we, you know, that was probably the biggest eye-opener, you know, was that how busy we are. And then, you know, for a lot of people who know McKinney Row because they're regulars at Lola's Lake House or at Jake O'Connor's or even O'Donovan's, and they're going to a Viking game. Well, yep. When you show up at the Viking game, we'd have the band playing, but the bar stools are pulled out. It's standing room only, and you're drinking out of a plastic cup. So you weren't seeing it as a dining destination. You were going, hey, Dermot, you built a beautiful pub.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like we're maybe sending a little mixed messages to people.
Yeah.
And so we decided, you know what? We've got a formula that worked at Jake O'Connor's for so long. Let's bring that down here. And it is different, you know, from O'Donovan's. O'Donovan's is your quintessential, you know, pub, you know, mm-hmm. where it's primarily a drinking place. And, you know, people going to Target Field or Target Center for a concert or a game, you know, they come in and they have their corned beef sandwich or their fish and chips, and it's really good and they really love it. But we're not trying to be a dining destination there.
You know what you are.
Yeah, and McKinney Row and Jake O'Connor's are certainly elevated from that, in that there is, you know, wine is a big component. Our menu is bigger. Like dishes like a seared halibut or a great steak are available, as well as the chicken pot pie and the fish and chips. So,
all right, so let's stay with this. We'll stay with the restaurant business and St. Patrick's Day. My good friend here, Dermot Cowley, in with us. I said we would have an opportunity for you to win a pair of Michael Bublé tickets. Lindsay tells me she's working on getting Michael Bublé to be in studio to give us bumper music. Where are you at on those efforts right now, Lindsay?
We have a Twins game on March 18th. So, no. I'm sorry.
So, if there wasn't a Twins game,
I would have pursued it really hard.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting any feedback so far from the Bublé group on whether
No, I didn't. I mean, he's not coming into town until the 18th.
Maybe we could duck in to the Twins games with a little bit of Michael Bublé. Dermot, would you like that? I mean, a little bit of Michael Bublé?
Was going to give a little spoiler alert. Rumor has it Michael Bublé is coming in on Sunday, March 17th, and he's coming over to McKinney Road to hang out and have a few beers with us.
Yeah.
That's the rumor. I don't know if it's true, but.
I mean, I can't deny it.
Right?
I mean, I can't deny it. So we're gonna ask a question here about St. Patrick's Day and the first person to call in. And we're going to reward loyalty here, too. I'm not giving you the phone number. We're going to reward the people who know the phone number. So Dermot's going to give you a question tied to St. Patrick's Day. And the first person who calls in with the correct answer gets a pair of tickets to see Bublé the 18th of this month at the X. The question is, sir?
Where is St. Patrick from?
Where is St. Patrick from? That's it. Call in right now. Correct answer. You get to see Michael Bublé at the X. 249. That is the Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to call for free home improvement estimates on windows and insulation. All right, we do have a winner, so you can stop calling right now. All right, Dermot. It was going to be a bit of a trick, right? It wasn't just going to be the obvious one. So give us the answer.
All right. So St. Patrick was actually born in Wales.
Yes.
He's not an Irishman, but he was brought over in captivity at some point, and then the rest is the lore of St. Patrick driving the snakes out of Ireland and bringing Christianity to Ireland. So
very good. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I like that one. Okay. Restaurant business right now is?
Tough.
Yeah.
It's very tough. It's I personally, I think this is harder for us than maybe the recession back in 2008 because, you know, on the TV, the stock markets, everything says the economy is booming and unemployment's at such a low point. It's just so hard to get staff, and especially in kitchens, there's it's a hard job working in kitchens and restaurants. It's hot. You're working, you know, Friday night, Saturday night. It's a thankless. And so now when unemployment's so low, it's really hard to get staff. So there's a little bit of, you know, because you're not fully staffed and you can't, you know, there's parts of the restaurants on certain nights where we can't open certain areas because we just wouldn't be able to take care of the customer properly and the way we want to. So it's like, okay, close it down. So you've got a cap on your revenue stream from that end of things. And then rising, you know, with unemployment so low and the competition to get staff, your wages are rising. So it's, you know, here in Minneapolis, they talk about minimum wage going to $15.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask you about that.
We have surpassed that, you know, way long time ago.
Yeah.
So it, to me, that just, you know, kind of a little political fodder, if you will. Mm-hmm. And
but the tip credit was a valid
topic,
right?
Would be, yes. I would, and I think a lot of restaurateurs would like to see a tip credit be brought into the state, because right now, as we give these pay raises, and you know, people think that you own a restaurant, you're loaded. You know what? Restaurants cost a lot of money to operate. They cost a lot of money to build. So it takes a long time before you start to make money in a restaurant. So that's the tip credit would be amazing, because it would allow us to continue to operate, thrive, and a lot of restaurants need the help right now.
Yeah.
So,
do you think that's going to happen, though, the tip credit side?
I
mean, to me, it makes so much sense, but right now, the political will is not there.
It's probably unlikely, but one can always hope.
Yeah.
You know, but it probably costs, you know, I have a friend who's an district VP for one of the national chains. And, you know, they have restaurants in North, South Dakota, they have in Wisconsin. And he would say that it costs 15 to 20% more to operate a restaurant in Minnesota than either of those two states. So,
and then that's a big difference.
It is a big difference, you know, so.
All right, let's mention again, we got Jake O'Connors. We got, firstly, Lowell as always, but just for St. Patrick's Day, Jake O'Connors, O'Donovan's, McKinney Row. What do you want to mention?
We're going to have, at all locations, live music Friday night, Saturday day, Saturday night, Sunday. It's going to be a great party. Bagpipers coming by. It's a great time to celebrate your Irish heritage or act Irish for a day or a weekend. So we'd like you to know you're certainly invited to come by and say hello.
I always appreciate coming on by, sir.
Thank you very much.
He is truly one of my great friends, and I always appreciate Dermot for stopping on by. As always, you want any want to provide any feedback, you certainly can. You can also send emails, chad.hartman@entercom.com. In particular, if you'd like to show us your man cave, or if you'd like to invite us to be a member at Cypress Point, we really would like those emails. Talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.